for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2007 Memorial Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is the Friday afternoon 1:15 Ladies Deliverance Service, May the 25th, 2007. Carla Batard is the speaker of the service, teaching on the spirit of abortion.
Father, we just thank you for your presence here today. We thank you, Lord, for your word and for your goodness, for what you've already done in this camp, and Lord, for what you're going to do. Our expectations are high. I thank you for the women, Lord, and I ask you to bless the men's meeting downstairs. Lord, that you will meet every man right where he is, and that the desires of their hearts will be met. Father, I bind the spirit of sleepiness and slumber and stupor, and I bind every hindering spirit that would hinder us from hearing what you're saying today. I pray that every heart, Lord, be softened to receive from you. In Jesus' name, amen. You know what I love about the deliverance ministry is that for years, and I was saved probably for 15 years, thank you. I didn't know anything about the deliverance ministry. I was a born-again Christian, but I had a lot of questions about myself and other people that I wanted answers to. Stuff just did not make sense to me. And when I came into the deliverance ministry, and you start hearing about spirits and how they operate, things started making sense. And now we can address those spirits and get them out of our lives and then help other people to do the same thing. And so before I tell you about the topic for today, I want to read a list of manifestations, because many times, or most of the time, you can tell what spirit you're dealing with by the manifestations that show up in your life. Okay. You have a feeling that something is blocking you from the things of God. You have an inability to achieve intimacy in relationships. Okay? You have an inability to achieve intimacy in relationships. You have a problem getting close to people. Everything is kind of at arm's distance. You're unable to give or receive love like you want to. There's something that just won't allow you to love like you want to, or you can't receive the love from other people like you would like to. Either you are, or you may have had, a non-emotional parent, a mother or a daddy, maybe both, that you just couldn't get close to. You had no relationship with them. They did all the things they were supposed to do, but there was no feeling behind it. You feel like nobody loves you. You don't even love yourself. You have mental torment, no peace, troubled or tortured conscience. In extreme cases, you may actually hear voices, in your mind, hearing voices talking to you. Emotional torment, no joy or depression, sadness, just sorrow. Feel like you're losing your mind, like you have mental illness or insanity. You're extremely forgetful. You have feelings sometimes of just being totally confused or spaced out. You have Jekyll Hyde tendencies. Sometimes you are the sweetest thing, and other times you are a monster. You have disturbing thoughts or feelings. Thoughts that disturb you, haunt you, you're having to push them away all the time. A surprising hatred of somebody or something. Unforgiveness. You have trouble forgiving. Or you have bitterness and resentment. You have a fear of starvation, and it could cause you to overeat and have weight problems. Fear of being abandoned. Fear of being murdered. Fear that your parents might kill you. Or you have thoughts of killing, lurking murderous feelings, thoughts of suicide or death wish, wishing you had never been born. You have a fear of being discovered even though there's nothing to hide. Extreme nervousness, mental or emotional, that would lead to breakdowns. You have a hardened heart against God. Someone starts to talk to you about God and you just, don't go there. Not interested in spiritual things, especially having to do with the Holy Spirit. Trouble-ridden relationships all around. Self-hatred. Self-destructive behaviors. Abusing drugs or alcohol or food or cutting yourself or getting multiple piercings and just things that are painful, but you do it anyway. Other eating disorders like anorexia nervosa or bulimia. Wearing a mask. You put on a face, but behind it, you're either really sad, really mad, but you wear a face so that nobody discovers that. Guilt-ridden feelings, even when you've done nothing wrong, or just having feelings of shame. Insomnia, fatigue, nightmares, inability to relate to children. Just really don't even want to be around them. Don't like them. Unsatisfactory sexual marriage relationships. Always having a problem with that intimacy. Misery. Multiple marriages and multiple divorces. You know these people that are on their fourth and fifth marriage and fourth and fifth divorces. Adultery and infidelity. Abusive relationships. You know you're being abused, but you just stay there. You take it. You almost feel like you deserve it. You feel inferior to everyone else. Everybody else is better than you are. You're just way down there on the totem pole. Insecure, fearful, having excessive fears like phobias, excessive fear of insects or water or heights or, just excessive fears, and especially stuff that you don't even really need to be fearful of, but you have these fears. Headaches, migraines, difficult periods, extreme PMS, cramps, childlessness due to miscarriages, stillbirths, sudden infant death syndrome, sterility. And this can be a man or a woman. This is not exclusively a woman's thing. It affects the man exactly the same way. Autoimmune diseases, which are caused by self-hatred. When you hate yourself, the things that fight sicknesses begin to fight even the good parts of you. Cancers, cysts, tumors, reoccurring infections in male or female sexual or reproductive organs, or breast cancers, uterine cancer, cervix, cervical cancer, vagina, cancer of the vagina, all types of female cancers, and in the male it would be prostate. Men can have breast cancer. All of these are manifestations of the spirit of abortion. Now, the reason I wanted to read those manifestations first is because I never thought the spirit of abortion applied to me, because I've never had an abortion, never even thought about an abortion, so why should I be interested in the spirit of abortion? But when my daughter was in high school, she had several friends that had abortions. And she had gone to Frank Hammond's ministry for deliverance. My husband and I took Katie out there, and Kyle's been out there a couple of times. And there was a book on the book table called Ministering to the Aftermath of Abortion. I'd seen it, but never even thought about picking it up because of what I just said. But she, because some of her friends had had abortions and were tormented beyond belief, she was interested in that book. So she asked me the next time I went out there, would you get that book? And I said, yes. So I got the book and brought it home. And then she got pregnant and left home. And the book laid around my house for a good while. And one day the Lord said, read that book. And I argued. I'm not interested in that. You know, I've never had an abortion. All my arguments. And he said, you know, God is so sweet. He said, well, that's true. But you will minister to people who have had abortions. And you need to know this. So when I started reading that book, it was an eye-opener to me because it answered a lot of those unexplained questions. My unexplained questions were, and not only does it have to apply to you personally, but generationally, because these sins go back 10 generations, you don't know what happened in your family that long ago. That was a long time ago. Not to mention that women in this country, all of us, are under the curse of abortion because our country has legalized abortion.
Right.
So as citizens of this country, that curse is on the people. And it could be the explanation of women, you know, who can't get pregnant or who have miscarriage after miscarriage after miscarriage. You know, even though this doesn't apply to them individually, our country is under a curse because of legalized abortion. So some of my unexplained things were just horrifying thoughts that would come to me. Like I was sitting on the swing one day, and we had this sweet little cat. She had a little tiny head. She was real petite. And she jumped up in my lap, and I was just petting her, and she was purring. And I was looking at her, and I thought, her head is so little. I could fit her head right in my hand. In fact, I could just twist it like that and kill her. I was like, whoa, where did that come from? Man, I knocked the cat off my lap. But, you know, things like that. And over the years, I would have these thoughts. I really wanted to kill my brother. I mean, he agitated me something fierce. And I would have murderous thoughts toward him. If I was big enough, I'd kill him. I mean, he was mean to me. Those kind of things. You know, I pass that off. Ah, that's just normal sibling stuff. But it's not. That's not. To kill someone is not normal sibling rivalry. It's murder. Okay, so I also wondered why all my life, as far back as I can remember, I was afraid someone was going to kill me. Now, I thought it was because of my brother. But reading that book, I realized that that is a fear when the spirit of abortion is present in your life. You have a fear of being murdered. Why? Abortion is murder. So I would go to bed as a little girl, and I had 3 or 4 pillows, and I would, you know, pack them around me this way, and I'd put one on my chest in case someone stabbed me, it wouldn't hurt me. You know, what kind of that's crazy. I never knew where that came from, but man, it haunted me. I was really afraid someone was going to kill me. Why was I so afraid to be separated from my mother and daddy? Even when I was a teenage girl, when I was old enough to stay at home, if they went to visit somewhere, I would go with them. Because my greatest fear was that they would have an accident and be killed, and I would rather go with them and be killed. I mean, this is what consumed my thoughts. It was torment. When I was a little girl, I had this reoccurring dream that Mother and Daddy and I would go to the grocery store, and they would say, they would be bagging the last few items, and my mother would turn and say, You can go get in the car. We're almost done. So I would walk out in the parking lot, and every car in the parking lot was just like ours. And I didn't have this dream just once or twice. It was a tormenting nightmare that just kept me tormented. So I would walk real slow in one direction because I just knew if I got in this car, they would go get in this one and leave me. So there was the abandonment, fear of abandonment. Fear, I felt like they didn't want me. Why? I don't know. I was the baby of the family, you know, daddy's little darling, loved. And, you know, I've told Mike before, I said, you know what is so amazing about demons? They're not selective. You know, I hear many women who have suffered the most horrendous things, and it has caused them to have a lot of these same fears, or, you know, feel ugly, or feel unloved, or feel not wanted, or feel all these rejection, the feelings of rejection, because they were sexually molested or raped or, you know, all these horrible things that had happened. And those things had never happened to me, but I had the same fears, the same torments, the same feeling of unworthiness and shame and guilt, every bit of that. Now, I've never had any of that happen to me. And I would always listen to women that those things had happened to, and I thought, gee, you know what? You're not the only one that has those feelings. I've had all those same feelings, and none of that's ever happened to me. See, demons are, they're cruel. They are destructive. And that's exactly what they want you to feel. Nobody loves you. You're not good enough to be loved. Nobody will ever love you. Don't even try. And if someone does love you, it won't last very long. You watch, they'll find out, they'll get rid of you. You know, it's torment. I couldn't get close to my mother. You know, this mother-daughter relationship that you see other people have wasn't there for me. I was very close to my dad. My dad was, you know, very affectionate. My mother could not be affectionate. And I always wondered why. That I'm sure, you know, of course, the lying spirit comes up and says, it's because she never wanted you. She still doesn't want you. You know, the lying spirit is right there to just confirm everything the demon is causing you to feel. She was a good mother. I mean, she dressed me cute, kept me clean, curled my hair, kept the house spotless. She was good in the house. She was very domestic, good cook, all that, but no affection. And I was so afraid of needles. Here was my extreme, my unexplained, goofy fears. I mean, it took 8 people in the doctor's office to give me a shot because I was so scared of needles, and I don't know where that came from. Claustrophobic. I would not get in an elevator. I was in my late 20s before I would get on an elevator and not have feelings that I was going to die. It was just afraid of bees and roaches. I'd rather leave the house than sleep in a house if I saw a roach. Just terrified of bees and roaches. If a group of people, if I called y'all here today and said, listen, one of you here has been taking food into the room where you're not supposed to take food. Even if I had not done it, I would feel the guilty one. It's me. If you looked around for a guilty face, she did it. Yep. I saw it on her face, just all over her face. That's why we can't go by looks, y'all. Because demons will lie to you. False guilt. Shame. After a lifelong dream of getting married and having kids, I thought that was going to be the epitome of happiness. And I got married and had kids, and it was a nightmare. You know, why couldn't I be happy? What's the matter with me that I can't be happy? This should be making me happy. I was just miserable. No matter what I tried to do, I couldn't be happy. I wished I had never been born. You know that movie, It's a Wonderful Life? I was George. But it ended good. And I had already been freed from all of this. The first time I saw that movie, it became that's my movie. Why, when God had healed me of all other infirmities that I've ever had, did I still have migraine headaches. That one really haunted me. And after I had that baby I waited so long for, when he would wake up in the morning and show up in the room, it was like, ugh. And I didn't really feel that way. But that would come over me. And I would think, it's kind of like the cat thing, you know. Why? Where is that coming from? I don't feel that way. But it would be there. Ugh. I just didn't want him to make his appearance in the morning. And he was so precious. Just so, so precious. Still precious. And why did I feel so ugly? I mean, I would catch a glimpse of myself in the mirror and it would shock me because what I saw in the mirror didn't match what I felt about myself. I felt like when people looked at me, they saw, you know, a demon. That's how I felt inside. I felt ugly, scary, and I felt like nobody really loved me. They only tolerated me. I didn't fit in anywhere. Never had a best friend. I was always the third party. Everybody else and their best friend, and if one of them was out of town, they would let me be the second one. You know, it was just terrible. So reading this book gave me insight into my grandmother, who was abandoned at birth. She was abandoned at birth. Now, you don't have to actually have an abortion, or your mother doesn't have to try to abort you for these things to be. I mean, it can just be a dread of being pregnant can cause that spirit of abortion and rejection. And this is closely related to the bastard spirit. And if you've never heard of that, there's plenty of books downstairs. But these two kind of work together because of the spirit of rejection. See, the bastard is not wanted. The son or the daughter is wanted, but the bastard is not wanted. But even though I was wanted, I had the spirit of the bastard that came down through the generational line. I'd always thought my grandmother's mother must have been a little floozy, you know, because in my eyes, it was only promiscuous women who got in that shape anyway. So God showed me when my daughter got pregnant, and I was so angry with her because God has a good life for her, and she chose the yucky one. Mm-hmm. And that was heartbreaking to me. But I had a dream one night at my mother's house, and in the dream, I met this beautiful woman. She was, I mean, godly looking. And I didn't know who it was, but in my sleep mode, I knew that I was looking at my grandmother's mother. And she wasn't a floozy at all. And while I was looking at her, she morphed and became me. And then, as I'm thinking, whoa, then morphed again into Katie, my daughter. And so what God showed me was, you know, you judged her, and it was incorrect. She wasn't promiscuous, and she wasn't a floozy. She was a godly woman who made a mistake. And you, meaning me, yourself, had sex before you were married. It could have been, you could have been her. That could have been you. And it is your daughter. And boy, all the anger at my daughter went away, which is usually what happens when we experience things that we have judged. We lose the anger. We lose the judgment. We lose the condemnation because God gives us understanding. So that was a step in healing our relationship. And I told my daughter about the dream. I wanted her to know. And then later, I was in the kitchen one day. This is after the baby was born, and that sadness came back that she had opted for the yucky life. And God said, you know, my plan for Katie has not changed. And I said, really? And he said, that's right. I said, but Lord, he said, but look at Abraham and Sarah. See, I had a plan and a promise, a good thing for them too. They messed up. but it didn't change my plan. It did not wipe out the promise of Isaac and the promise of the nation being blessed through Abraham's seed. See, he can even redeem our mistakes. God is good. So it gave me insight. This book helped me to understand that the reason my mother was what I called a mechanical mom. You know, she went through the motions with no emotion, like a robot. So I understood that it was nothing personal. It wasn't that she was withholding from me. She couldn't. She couldn't. So my grandmother, who was the child of my great-grandmother, abandoned at birth, she suffered depression. She suffered migraine headaches. She had gallbladder trouble. And you know that word gall means bile, something bitter to endure, bitterness of spirit. And you know, my grandmother, I spent a lot of time with my grandmother. And she always, I can remember us going to crowded places, and she would look around and she would say, "I wonder if any of these people are my family. I wonder if I have a sister or a brother or..." You know, it was, she lived with a lot of pain because she was abandoned at birth. So you can understand, you know, children who were adopted and children who were abandoned. And it may have been not bad circumstances. Maybe both of the parents were killed, you know, and they're left. And in the little child's mind, they don't know that it was a, you know, that it was the accident that took their parents. They just feel abandoned. Mm-hmm. And those spirits are standing right there ready to move in and cause all these things in them. Her gallbladder ruptured and she nearly died, but she didn't die. She lived. Now, I remembered after starting to read this book that my mother told me that when she was 14 years old, now, you can imagine a 14-year-old girl hearing this. Her mother told her that when she was pregnant with her, she drank quinine trying to abort her because she had 5 children very quickly. My mother was the third. When she found out she was pregnant the third time so quickly, she did not want another baby. And so somebody helped her to try to abort the baby. But it didn't work. So you can imagine what that did to my mother hearing that. Okay? Out of her 5 children, there have been nervous breakdowns. Her oldest son, she only had 1 boy, committed suicide when he was 60. See, these spirits can lay dormant for a long time just waiting for the right opportunity. The 2 youngest, because she had so many children, didn't get handled very much. You know, I was told that one of my aunts was completely bald on the back of her head because nobody ever picked her up. She laid in the bed all the time. And this aunt is very insecure, fearful. I mean, all those spirits are in her. The baby of the family has crippling arthritis, asthma, and a weight problem. And no doubt every bit of those stems from that spirit that has just gone undetected and left to play havoc in her life. In our family, now the oldest 2, they didn't suffer from, well, the one who committed suicide, see, there was a spirit of death in him. He suffered bouts of depression. And he has 3 daughters, and one of those has suffered depression. The same one has had an abortion. I mean, it just multiplies with the generations. And then in my family, my oldest brother is sterile. They always wondered why is he sterile? Could not have children. My other brother got pregnant. He and his girlfriend got pregnant before they were married. They had the baby, and the baby died when it was 12 days old. See, the spirit of death is there. In women, When that spirit is there, there's a spirit of death in the uterus. So when she gets pregnant, that spirit of death just kills it. That's why you have so many miscarriages. And sometimes they're sterile. They can never have children. Just can't have children. So they opt, you know, to do these other things to get pregnant or have an egg fertilized and planted or, you know, just all kinds of... Medical science has found a way around it, but wouldn't it be so much better to find the root spiritually and deal with it and then be able to have children naturally? My Katie had that same fear of separation. You know, she would never go, like, with her grandparents to the camp or anything. She had that same fear that I had. Now, see, if I had known all of this when my babies were born, if I had known about the spirit of abortion, I would have, I have said before, the delivery room would have had more than one definition, more than one meaning. I would have delivered the baby and then delivered the baby. But to come against those generational curses when your children are babies, I mean, those spirits, they're there. They can't do anything. They're trapped in that little body, you know. But when they get old enough to start, the demons begin to activate the lust. You know, those are some things, fornication and lust and whoredom and bondage, using drugs to anesthetize the pain. All of these things are involved in this spirit of abortion. You know what? I've been asking the Lord, when Henry Wright, I called Henry Wright's ministry about 4 years ago to ask them if they had any insight on, what is it called? They don't call it mongoloidism anymore. It's, what is it? Down syndrome. Down syndrome. Because as I've talked to Mike about it, I said, you know, why is it they all look like they have the same daddy? Don't they all look like they have the same daddy? They have that look in their eyes and the look in their face. They all look alike. But what I believe now is that, you know, the woman gets pregnant, and a lot of these pregnancies are late in life pregnancies. And so, let's just use me for an example, menopausal. But let's suppose that, you know, when you're menopausal, sometimes you'll release an egg and you don't even know it. That's how these things happen. And so let's say I get pregnant and then I don't know I'm pregnant. So the fetus is growing free, happily. Everything's developing as it should. And then a month or two later, a little, you know, you start getting nauseated or you start thinking, whoa, this is how I used to feel when I would get pregnant, you know. And then fear sets in. And that fear of pregnancy squelches the fetus. The brain as it's developing, or the development of the fingers, you know, whatever's going on at that time, that fear and dread and rejection moves in on that fetus and arrests the development. Because are they all not like a 3 or 4 year old? So that mental development is cut and stopped, hindered. And then, you know, a couple of months later, they resolve to the fact that, okay, we're having this baby. And then it goes ahead and finishes growing to supposed normalcy until they discover, you know, that it's Down syndrome there. I don't know, but it kind of made sense to me because it happens at that point of development where they stop developing mentally, and then when the mother, you know, faces the fact, then it goes ahead and develops on out. Interesting thought, but it's a spirit. A spirit causes that. That's why they all look like they have the same daddy. It is the same daddy. It's a spirit. The spirit goes in there and causes that. I firmly believe that. Okay, so Katie in her teenage years. She has all these fears. She felt unloved, even though I was an emotional mom. But didn't make any difference. The spirit was there, and it was in her, causing her to feel unloved and like a misfit. And so she finds out about marijuana and drinking, and she begins to anesthetize her pain. And here we are, Christians. You know, why that should, that didn't fit in the picture. But if you don't know about demons and cast them out, then you just live a tormented Christian life. Yeah. Right? Those are the things that didn't make sense to me. Where is the freedom? Where is the joy? Where is the help? Where is the peace? Where is the well-being? Where is, you know, those are the things that didn't make sense to me until I found out about how these spirits worked. She was a loner because she felt unloved and like she didn't fit in. We had communication problems because that lying spirit stood between me and her. I would say, I would call her from downstairs, Katie, I'm fixing to make some toast. Would you like some? And she'd storm to the opening. Why are you always screaming at me? And one day I asked the Lord, Lord, what is that? He said, it's the lying spirit that stands between you and her and communicates to her the lie. They twist it and pervert it and translate it. And she learned about it when she moved off with this guy. She told me, I told her about the lying spirit. When God told me about it, I said, hey, guess what God told me? And I relayed the incident. She remembered it. And she said when it was time for him to get up to go to work, she would get up, she would fix his coffee, fixing breakfast, and go to the bedroom and say, Charles, it's time to get up. And he would get up and say, why do you have to come in there screaming at me? And she said, I know what that is. That's the lying spirit. See, so she has a lot of knowledge. She's just living in rebellion. So when they come around, when my children come around, they're going to be mighty warriors for God. Amen. She'll be able to minister to girls that I could never touch. You know, the likes of the people that have been strolling through my house. But you know what God told me one day? You're too polite to the devil. I thought, what? And I realized that it was true. That when my son would bring people like that into my house and say, hey, Mom, this is so-and-so and so-and-so. And I told Patty one morning on the phone, these people look like they just got a day pass from hell. And they're in my house. And you know, he'll ask me right in front of them, do you mind if they wait in here while I go upstairs and take a shower? And I'm like, no. No, I don't mind. But you know, God said, you're too polite to the devil. See, it was the devil in my son that knew I wouldn't say no, but not anymore. I'm sorry, you'll have to wait outside. He knows not to bring people into the house after 10 o'clock at night. You know? No, we're too polite to the devil. When Jesus encountered a demon, he just addressed it. He didn't worry about who it was in. I mean, they got free. Are they going to be mad at Jesus? I don't think so. We are too polite to the devil. But not anymore. She felt inferior. She was non-emotional. I never could tell how she was feeling. Now she has this extreme PMS where she is maniacal before her period. I mean, it's just scary. So I know that a lot of these things still are present. Sexually active when she was a young girl, got pregnant before she was married, and she's still not married. This is what was so helpful, though. See, she didn't get to read the book. And because of the distance between us, I did share some of this with her. But when it really came in handy was when the baby was born. And I went out to stay with her for a week. And when I got to her house, the baby was a day old. Because we were at my son's college graduation. And she gave birth about the same time we walked across the stage. So we found out about the baby on the phone machine when we got home. So I unpacked from that trip and packed, and off to West Texas I went. And when I got there, she had just nursed the baby. And the baby was quiet and quiet, but just, you know, it was disturbing to watch. I mean, that little baby was just clawing, you know, and it was scratching itself. And so I got the movie camera, and Katie was holding the baby like this, and I said, "Katie, tell me about Kaylee." And she was just like this. And I said, "Katie." And she looked up and just began to cry. So I turned off the camera, and I just held her. I said, what is it? And she said, "Mama, when she came out, I was waiting for that feeling that you see women when they have babies. Oh, give her to me, you know, kiss, kiss, and all this stuff." She said, "I never felt that. I still don't feel that." And she said, when I got home with her, I put her in the crib, and I went to the kitchen to do something, and I would run in there to make sure she was breathing, and then I would go back. See, she had a fear of something happening to her. And then she was in the kitchen cutting something, and she heard a voice that said, "You could take that knife and just go kill her." Now, if I had not read the book, I would have been terrified. Because here's another question it answered. Do you remember that Susan Smith? That was the first that I realized. When she let that car go down into that water with her babies in that car. And I was thinking, how on earth could anybody do that? But reading this book, I understood it. She had a spirit of murder. It was just waiting for the opportune time. And from what we heard on the news, she had a little love affair going on, and he didn't want any kids. So, hey.
That's right.
You just get rid of them. Mm-hmm. That was the demon's solution for her. Now, where is the thought past that? You know? How could you not think past that? Well, if I do that, I'm probably going to go to prison. You know, there was no thought like that. It's just, and what I've learned about watching my children is that you can almost see when the demon kicks in. I mean, it's almost like, "Where'd you go? What'd you do with my son?" You know, really and truly. There was such a, it was disturbing, but you can see it. So, I believe that spirit of murder, when it's ready, it just, like flip-flops, put you in some kind of daze. That's why I think these murderers have no memory and plead innocent. I mean, it's not, they can't, they, it happened through them. They were the instrument of the murder or the rape or the whatever. The demon stealing, robbing a bank. Look at those college girls, those Barbie robbers or whatever they are. Cutesy little 20-somethings and go into the bank and flaunt it. How can you do that? But see, there was something driving. And if Christians have that drive that causes them to do things over and over and over and over, it's a demon there that needs to be cast out. But what happens in the Christian world, we're afraid to reveal it to our Christian family because we kill them. We stone them. We judge them. You know? We should be helping them, people get free of things instead of, you know, condemning them. And but they have to be willing, you know, to yield. But, I mean, the church, you go to the church for help. The pastor behind the desk has pornography in his drawer. I mean, we've got to get the working of deliverance in the entire body of Christ so that people know what to do with these demons that are in their lives. I wish I had known. When I believe that, hey, go up to join the church. You ask Jesus Christ to come into your life. You keep them after church. We're going to go in this little room. You have a little page. Have you ever been in sexual sin? Have your mom and dad, are they married or divorced? You got divorce in your family? You got this, you got that, just like the doctor's office does.
Right.
Really?
Family history.
Have you ever fooled around with a Ouija board or had your palm read or read the horoscopes? Or have you ever been to the gambling joint? Or have you ever been drunk? Or have you ever been, have you ever stolen things? And let's just have a little examination and find out what demons are operating in their lives. You can break generational curses. Generational curses, they didn't have anything to do with what you did. Let's acknowledge those things and get them out before they become full-blown your problem. But we hide those things. See, the first time I taught this, it called it secret sins. Because we want to hide things we're ashamed of. And Satan has his greatest power in the areas of your secrets. He spiritually blackmails you and causes you to keep it quiet. Because, hey, he can use you. But if you confess it, let it out, find a trusted... Hey, Lake Hamilton is the greatest place in the world.
Amen.
To come and dump your demons. But it's a process. It's not a one-time thing. That's why I'm here every camp. Because between New Year's Day and the other day, I had problems. And I had to repent of some things myself. My daughter told me, since she dumped on me, and I had to take accountability for some of the things that she said. They were true. And my son dumped on me, and I just kept quiet and I listened. And I had to take accountability for some of the things that he said and repent of those things. So we're all getting freer. But I know that this spirit operates in way more of us than we ever knew. Because there is too much rejection. There is too much seeking God, never getting a hold of God. And it could very well be the spirit of abortion, which is closely related to the bastard spirit. In both of those, the root is rejection. And so, we're going to end this with some deliverance. We want to get rid of all of these spirits that are related to the spirit of abortion that could have come down from your great-great-great-great-grandmother, not to mention the spirit, the curse that is on this country because of legalized abortion. The doctor that you used to deliver your baby might have, after 7 in the evening, might have been doing abortions. You don't know. The very hands that brought the little life in were killing them too. We just don't know. So I encourage you, even though, you don't think any of this applies to you, I think I've given a good enough argument that whether it's in your family or not, or in you or not, the actual act of abortion, any time there is deliverance going on downstairs, participate in the prayers.
Yeah.
Because you might not know it's there. And if you don't participate, that doesn't apply to me. It could have applied to your mother or your daddy or 63 other people that are involved in your gene pool that you came from. Participate in the prayers. I mean, I know that I got delivered of stuff that I didn't even know I had.
Yeah.
But sometimes down the line, I would think, wow, I'll tell you, in fact, it probably was through Dr. Null and the rejection thing. But that fear of bees and stuff, that didn't just go away automatically. I bet I ran a whole mile down the beach one time making an absolute idiot out of myself because a bumblebee was... And do you know that they always find the one that's allergic or fearful? You know why? Because fear works just like faith. Did you know that? Fear will draw to you the very thing you fear. Like Job said, the very thing I feared came upon me. I had an umbrella and I tore up the umbrella trying to kill the bee. But did I care I was making a fool of myself? No, fear does crazy things to you. You lose all your pride till later. But not long ago, I guess it's been within the last 5 years, I went outside to pick figs off my fig tree, and there were bees all over those figs. And I found myself just thumping that and taking my fig. Get bees. I mean, I was in the midst of all those bees and did not get stung one time. I mean, I just said, my fig. My fig. You'd have to thump it, too, to get them off of there because they had their sucker stuck down in those figs. But I'm not afraid of bees anymore. And I took dominion over my, after the kids left. Oh, I went through my house and prayed and cast out, I drove out every unclean thing in that house. And the other day I found a roach laying on his back dead. And I thought, look at that. I mean, we haven't sprayed or anything. It was just on his back dead.
Hallelujah.
I spoke death to every foul creature in my house. We do. We have power that we haven't even tapped.
Amen.
Okay, so here comes the deliverance part. Okay. Well, let's just go before the Father right now. Lord, I ask you to come and minister to each one of us, Lord. I thank you that you are able to be everywhere all at once, that you know exactly what each of us, our issues, our secrets, Lord, you know what they are. We want to bring them here today, Father, and give them to you. For you shed every drop of your blood to cleanse us. Lord, you gave yourself. You sacrificed yourself for us. You love us that much that you would take that horrendous death so that we could be cleansed, we could be forgiven, we could be healed, we could be delivered, we could be free, Lord. That is really love. You love us so much, Lord. I pray that each one of us, right now, Lord, if we have never received the Father's love, I pray right now that you would release an anointing of your love in this room right now that would envelop every hurting heart. Every heart that has felt the pain of rejection, pour out your love right now. Heal the broken heart and the wounded spirit, Lord. Lord, I thank you that your word says in Psalm 139 that even when we were just a substance, before our members were formed, you knew us, you loved us, and you wrote us in your book. You wrote our members in your book. We were recorded before we were ever born, and you accepted us and you loved us regardless of the circumstances we were born from or born into. You were there. You were waiting. And you have a good plan for each one of us. You have good things in store for each one of us. So I pray right now that we can receive your love in its fullness. In its fullness. You wanted us. You want us even now. In your own words right now, in just a moment of silence, I want you just to acknowledge his love for you and receive it. Know it, that he loves you, and receive his love. If you've never really just received it, just, you know, even if it's hard for you, even now, say, Lord, I receive your love by faith. Say it out loud. I receive your love by faith in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Minister, Lord. Send your Holy Spirit ministering angels. minister your love to us. I'm going to lead you through a prayer of confession. So pray this as I pray. Father,
Father,
I recognize abortion as murder.
I recognize abortion as murder.
And I am truly sorry.
And I am truly sorry.
For ever having thought.
For ever having thought.
Or done.
Or done.
One of the things that you hate.
One of the things that you hate.
The shedding of innocent blood.
The shedding of innocent blood.
Forgive me for every negative thought.
Forgive me for every negative thought.
That I had during pregnancy.
That I had during pregnancy.
I will never have anything to do with abortion.
I will never have anything to do with abortion.
Other than oppose it.
Other than oppose it.
And I ask you to forgive me.
I ask that you forgive me.
And my forefathers.
And my forefathers.
For the sin of abortion.
For the sin of abortion.
And murder.
And murder.
And all related sins.
And all related sins.
Fornication.
Fornication.
Incest.
Incest.
Rape.
Rape.
Adultery.
Adultery.
All sexual sins.
All sexual sins.
That have been committed against you.
That have been committed against you.
I formally break.
I formally break.
All ties.
All ties.
With the sin of abortion.
With the sin of abortion.
And renounce.
And renounce.
All connection.
All connections.
With abortion.
With abortion.
I break any other claims.
I break any other claims.
And legal grounds.
And legal grounds.
That Satan may have had on me.
Satan may have had on me.
Even 10 generations back.
Even 10 generations back.
I break the soul ties.
I break the soul ties.
That were formed.
That were formed.
With doctors.
With doctors.
Nurses.
Nurses.
Listening to people advise me.
Listening to people advise me.
Whoever would offer to pay for an abortion.
Whoever would offer to pay for an abortion.
Whoever drove you to the clinic.
Whoever drove you to the clinic.
I forgive them.
I forgive them.
And I send back their souls and spirits.
And I send back their souls and spirits.
To them.
To them.
And I call back my soul and spirit.
And I call back my soul and spirit.
To me.
To me.
And I exchange their image.
And I exchange their image.
For the image of Christ.
For the image of Christ.
Now, I want to just tell you what that means, because sitting under Jerry for a long, long time, I never knew what that meant. I exchange their image for the image of Christ. What does that mean? Well, when you think about an old lover that betrayed you, or, you know, if you got pregnant out of wedlock and they didn't take care of you, the image of that person that caused you pain, you forgive them, and now you're going to replace Christ with their image. See, so that will help you deal with the pain, the bitterness, resentment, you know, anything that's, any bitterness that's lingering. Lord,
Lord,
I break soul ties.
I break soul ties.
With any baby that I have lost.
With any baby that I have lost.
To miscarriage.
To miscarriage.
Dying right after birth.
Dying right after birth.
Being stillborn.
Being stillborn.
Or losing a baby in any way.
Or losing a baby in any way.
I break soul ties right now.
I break soul ties right now.
I send his soul back to him, soul and spirit.
I send his soul and spirit back to him.
And I call back my soul and spirit to me.
I call back my soul and spirit.
And I exchange their image.
I exchange their image.
For the image of Christ.
For the image of Christ.
Now, if there's been anybody here that has had an abortion, you need to also, you can ask the Lord to ask your baby to forgive you. Because that, the feeling of guilt and pain and bad memories, you can be rid of those. You don't have to live with those. So we don't talk to the dead. That's forbidden. Deuteronomy chapter 18 says you don't talk to the dead. But you can ask the Lord to give a message. Okay, now, you don't have to say any of this, but I want to, I take authority right now over every spirit of abortion. I bind your power, and I command you to leave God's women right now in Jesus' name. I come against the spirit of murder, suicide, death wish, destruction, in the name of Jesus, all death spirits, go in Jesus' name. I come against rejection, the spirit of rejection from the womb. In the name of Jesus, I break your power. All rejection, go in Jesus' name. I come against rejection by mom. In the name of Jesus. I come against rejection by dad. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we are accepted. We are your children. You have adopted us, and we have a daddy that loves us. We are accepted in the beloved. I break all rejection now in Jesus' name. I come against the bastard spirit that causes you not to feel like a beloved child. I break that bastard spirit in Jesus' name. All spirits of pride, vanity, and selfishness, go in Jesus' name. Pride, vanity, and selfishness, go in Jesus' name. All pride spirits, all spirits of vanity, all selfish spirits, in Jesus' name. All spirits of self-hatred, self-rejection, self-condemnation, in Jesus' name, go in the name of Jesus. All spirits of sorrow, grief, pining away, in the name of Jesus, go in Jesus' name. I bind you and break your power off God's women. All idolatry spirits, all spirits of not going to God and allowing Him to be Lord over the situation, but taking things into your own power and taking care of it your way, I break every spirit of idolatry in Jesus' name. Concern over your reputation, go in Jesus' name. All fear of what people are going to think, go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. Fornication, all spirits of fornication, go in Jesus' name. All spirits of fornication, all sexual sin, sex outside of the marriage union, all spirits of adultery, go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All spirits of incest and rape, it's okay. Your mom is okay. She's okay. She's okay. In Jesus' name, we bind you right now. Spirits of incest and rape, go in Jesus' name. All tormenting spirits, I speak to every tormenting spirit in the name of Jesus. I bind you right now in the name of Jesus. You will not torment them over their secrets anymore. In Jesus' name. Come against hatred of children. Go in Jesus' name. All spirits of child hatred. Go in Jesus' name. All fear of getting pregnant. Fear of not getting pregnant. Sterility. Go in Jesus' name. All, yes, spirits of barrenness. Go in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Fear of not being able to have children. I come against whoredom, the spirits of whoredom, in Jesus' name. And I command every unclean spirit to go now, in Jesus' name. All unclean spirits, go, in Jesus' name. Spirits of perversion, go, in Jesus' name. Spirits of child sacrifice. The spirit of, is it Asherah? No.
Molech.
Yes. I bind the spirit of Molech in the name of Jesus. I'm talking even child sacrifice that would cause us to choose something over our children. Choose a relationship with a man over our children. Choose a job over our children. Choose anything over our children is a form of child sacrifice. I bind all forms of child sacrifice in Jesus' name. I come against the spirit of Jezebel. She hates children. She plays like she loves children, but she really hates children. I speak to the spirit of Jezebel. I bind you and command you to go right now in Jesus' name. I come against the spirit of judgment. Anyone who has judged somebody else for having an abortion. I come against the spirit of judgment. I come against the spirits of guilt and shame. False guilt, false shame in Jesus' name. Self-condemnation, self-hatred, go in Jesus' name. All spirits of unforgiveness, bitterness, resentment, anger, rage, go. Anger and rage, go in Jesus' name. Unforgiveness of self, go. Unforgiveness of others, go in Jesus' name. Unforgiveness towards your mother because she couldn't love you the way you needed her to love you. Forgive right now. Lord, we forgive our mother. Forgive us for thinking that she was just holding out on us, that she had it, but she just wouldn't give it, Lord. Mental disorders, insanity, go in Jesus' name. All spirits of confusion,
nervousness,
extreme nervousness, go in Jesus' name. Yes, fear of being killed, fear of being murdered. Lord, I ask you to heal their memories. I come against tormenting memories in the name of Jesus. I ask you to heal their memories now of every unpleasant thing surrounding pregnancies, difficult pregnancies. Lord, even sometimes not liking the kid because they put you through so much bad labor. And then blaming the kid for the rest of his life, the little pain you put me through. We ask you to forgive us, Lord.
Spirit of numbness has to go.
Yes, hardness of heart. The mask, wearing a false mask in the name of Jesus. I rip off every mask from every face. Lord, let them be real. I speak the spirit of being real to every person. Every false spirit, go in Jesus' name. I command the blocks that stand between the women and you, Lord. I speak to those blocking spirits and I say, move now in Jesus' name. Move.
Aborted efforts have to go.
Yes.
Spirits that abort their efforts and cause them to fail.
Yes. Move. Go in Jesus' name. All failure spirits. Fear of failure. Continued failures, chronic failures, go in Jesus' name. We break the spirit of failures off of their life in Jesus' name. I bind the unloving spirit that won't let you love the way you want to, that won't let you receive God's love. I speak to that unloving spirit and I command it to go now in Jesus' name. Every unloving spirit, go in Jesus' name. The inability to have intimacy in relationships. I break that inability to have intimacy with your husbands, with your mothers, with your children, with your sisters, with your pastors, with God. Those blocks between you and God, I command them to go in Jesus' name. I speak to the mechanical mom. I bind you and command you to go in Jesus' name. Mechanical mom, going through the motions with no emotion. I break that power right now. I loose motherly nurturing upon the women of God. The feeling like nobody loves you, feelings of inferiority, go in Jesus' name. The ugly spirit, I break your power in Jesus' name. Mental torment, troubled consciences, no peace, I break every power of mental torment in Jesus' name.
Shock.
I come against what?
Spirit of shock.
Shock and trauma.
Paralysis.
Go in Jesus' name. Scars. I speak to the scars that on your spirits in Jesus' name. I command them to be healed in the name of Jesus. I speak to the lying spirit and I deafen our ears to the lying spirit in Jesus' name that tell us we're not loved. You're not good enough to be loved. Nobody's going to love you. I speak to self-hatred, even not loving yourself. I bind every unloving spirit in Jesus' name. I come against mental illness. I come against insanity in the name of Jesus. I bind the deaf and dumb spirit. I bind all uh, what did I call that, where the baby was arrested development. I come against arrested development in Jesus' name. I loose the mind of Christ. I activate the mind of Christ in everyone that you can think his thoughts. I come against confusion. I bind that spirit of confusion and insanity, mental problems, forgetfulness, extreme forgetfulness. I bind you and command you to go in Jesus' name. I come against the Jekyll Hyde syndrome. I bind the spirit of Jekyll and Hyde. Go in Jesus' name. We tear down every false identity in the name of Jesus. Every false identity. I command you to go in Jesus' name. I come against unnatural, disturbing, horrifying thoughts that plague the minds. I speak spiritual deafness, dumbness, blindness, paralysis, and incapacitation to every tormenting demon in Jesus' name. Hatred. I bind the spirit of hatred in Jesus' name. All spirits of hate, anger, murder, malice, go in Jesus' name. Wanting to get even, wanting to hurt, wanting to inflict pain, go in Jesus' name. I speak to unnatural fears, fear of being killed, fear of starvation, fear of abandonment. All fear spirits go in Jesus' name. Fear of never being loved. Fear of not being able to get free. Fear, just every spirit of fear, I command you to go, for it is written that we have not been given the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind.
Why that I can't be forgiven.
Yes. Yes. Amen. The fear of starvation that would cause obesity, I break your power right now that you're not going to be fed to the point that you're going to die. I break that power right now. I come against all eating disorders, anorexia, bulimia, starving yourself, self-punishment, putting up with abusive relationships because you think you deserve it. I break that power off God's women in the name of Jesus. What was it?
Self-punishment.
Self-punishment. Self-inflicted, inflicting pain upon yourself because you're so bad you need that punishment. Yes, in Jesus' name, all spirits of self-destruction and self-punishment, self-condemnation, guilt, shame, go in Jesus' name. Thoughts of suicide, wishing you had never been born. Thoughts of suicide. I come against the hardened heart right now in Jesus' name. I break the stony heart right now in the name of Jesus. Every stony heart, every wall that you put up around yourself so nobody would ever hurt you again, I tear those walls down right now in the name of Jesus. Self-protection, it's idolatry. I come against the spirit of idolatry in Jesus' name. Being your own God in Jesus' name. Taking care of your own self in Jesus' name. Never depending on anybody in Jesus' name. I come against those spirits of doubt and distrust in the name of Jesus. Go in Jesus' name. Yes, spirit of sleep and stupor, go in the name of Jesus. You loose God's people right now. I say, wake up. Wake up to God's people in the name of Jesus. I come against troubled relationships, adultery and divorce. You know, divorce is a spirit, just like cancer. Cancer comes down the family line. So does divorce. So does adultery. So we break all those spirits right now of divorce and adultery. I break it off of their lives right now in the name of Jesus. I break the spirit of adultery, the spirit of divorce in Jesus' name. Troubled relationships, I bind you right now in the name of Jesus. And I loose the spirit of peace. I loose the spirit of reconciliation to broken relationships. Forgiveness. I loose the spirit of love of peace, of joy in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask you to come now, send your Holy Spirit, and seal the deliverance of every spirit that is left. We ask you to come and fill them up with your Holy Spirit. I command the unholy spirit to go in Jesus' name. I tear down the altar that Satan has erected for every one of these women in the name of Jesus. I tear down the altar that's been erected for their lives. Lord, I send out the warring angels and scramble now the plans and the assignments against every one of these women. Lord, that we will never be the same. We will never be the same this day forward. We keep our deliverance in the name of Jesus. We thank you for it, Lord. We praise you for your deliverance, Lord. Lord, that you came to set the captive free, and you came to set at liberty them that are bruised. I speak to all forms of bruising right now in the name of Jesus. Be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name. Receive the healing right now in Jesus' name. I speak to all infirmity spirits. I come against the spirit of cancer in Jesus' name. Breast cancer, uterine cancer, cysts, tumors, discharge, infections, yeast infections, the spirit of death. All infirmity spirits go in Jesus' name. Go. What'd you say?
Fibroid
tumors and migraine headaches. I break the spirit of migraines off of God's women in Jesus' name. Migraines, go in the name of Jesus. You came with the spirit of abortion. We have cast you out in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Can anybody think of anything else? Birth defects. Yes. We bind the spirit of birth defects. Lord, cleanse our wounds. Send your Holy Spirit and cleanse our wounds. Cleanse our breath from all defilement. Lord, I break every soul tie from every instrument that doctors have inserted to look around and to get a pap smear and all these other things. I break every spirit off of the women that, you know, they use that same instrument over and over. Can you imagine? Yes. To open it up. Yes. Lord.
Yes, Lord.
So I break every spirit of infirmity, every female problem, every mental problem, every emotional problem, every physical problem. I come against arthritis, diseases in the bone, ovarian cysts, and everything that accompanies menstrual cycles and menopause, PMS. I come against every side effect of the curse of the woman. We break that curse of the woman off of each one of us. I bind hot flashes in the name of Jesus. I bind PMS. I command you to go. I break your power off of their lives in Jesus' name. No more PMS. No more cramps. No more excessive bleeding. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask that you would allow your resurrected blood right now to flow through our bodies. Your resurrected blood touching every... Lord, you created us. I speak a quickening to the mortal body, because your word says that if the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, that is the resurrection power, is in our bodies, that it will quicken, it will give life to the dead places. I speak a reversal to any damage that's been done by surgeries, by doctors, by doing what they told you to do and it made things worse. I speak a reversal right now to all the damage that's been done by doctors in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I speak healing to everybody. Every person that's sitting here, myself included. I just speak a healing to the body, the mind, the soul, the spirit, the emotions, Lord. Make us whole, Lord. Make us whole. And we thank you for the freedom that we are gaining, Lord, through this knowledge. We thank you. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.